Hello, this is Gordon J. Alexander, and you're listening to number one in a series that I'm calling Lessons of a Lifetime. And today we're going to be talking about a stimulus response world in which we live. And I'm going to tell you a story about how I discovered this world of stimulus response when I was a nine-year-old boy. Listen very carefully. It's going to be a short audio. I'm going to try not to go over 15 minutes on any given program that I'm doing. Then you can put them all together. You can download these on your MP3 players and listen to them, take notes later on, whatever. We live in a stimulus response world, and these first four lessons that I'm going to be giving you, my lessons of a lifetime, build a foundation, kind of a four-walled foundation that you can build upon. And even just this one, this very first audio that you're listening to, could be very life-changing for you. It's dynamic information, and you're going to love it. Let's get started right away. I have to take you back to the late spring of 1959. I was living in Talmadge, Ohio at 88 Nottingham Drive. And I was out playing in the yard, and Mr. Allen was washing his cars across the street on Marianne Drive. And he calls me over, and he offers me a quarter to help him wash and wax his cars. Well, that's big money for me. I got a nickel allowance every week. So a quarter was a big deal. And I said, sure. Well, about that time, Mrs. Zilg across the street called me over and asked me, gave me some scissors, and said, go into the field and cut me some flowers, and I'll give you a nickel. So I got my wagon and I went into the field. Now this field had been a nursery at one time in the 40s and 50s. It had gone to seed, but the perennials still came up. It was a beautiful field. And so I went in and cut some flowers for her. Took them back and she said, oh, that's way too many. She said, but I'll tell you what, I'll give you a dime. Why don't you go take Mrs. Mighton, the next door neighbor, some flowers and tell her that I paid for them for her. So I took him over to Mrs. Mighton. She said, thank you very much. Well, I went to go to help Mr. Allen wash and wax his cars. And he said, why don't you go ahead up and down the street and finish selling this wagon load of flowers you got? Maybe some other ladies would give you a nickel for them. And he said to me, if a woman says no, then you come running back and tell me why she said she wasn't interested, okay? Now, I didn't know this at the time, but Mr. Allen was like a salesman. And he was a relatively young man, and he was getting started in his sales career in insurance. And these Saturday mornings for that summer of me helping him wash and wax his car became a series of sales lessons, but I didn't know this at the time. So I took my wagon full of flowers, and I ran up and knocked on the door. And I said, would you like some flowers or only a nickel? And here's what the lady said to me, Jay, why in the world would I pay you for something I can walk out my door and get for free? That was a pretty good question. I said, I don't know. Just a minute. She kind of looked puzzled. I ran down to Mr. Allen. Mr. Allen, why would she give me a nickel for something she can walk out her back door and get for free? You tell her that I said she could pick all the flowers she wants, just to be careful of the big snakes and the wild field mice. I kind of giggled. At any given day, my wagon was full of snakes and mice and frogs and toads. Well, what nine-year-old boy didn't have those things? But I went back, I knocked on her door, and she's kind of annoyed, and she said, what did I tell you? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, Mr. Allen said, pick all the flowers you want, just be careful of the big snakes and the wild field mice. I said exactly as he told me. Something happened, and this is important. This is the whole gist of this entire lesson of a lifetime. And if you come to understand this, it's a powerful thing. And over the course of the next few days, when you start to use this and watch this and observe this, it's literally going to give you a whole new mindset, a whole new way of seeing things. Here's what happened when I told this woman about the big snakes and the wild field mice. I looked at this woman and she changed colors. The color went out of her face. She became kind of a white and ashen. And she started to mutter, big snakes, big snakes. And her eyes became real big and kind of glazed over. I, I didn't know this at the time. I had thrown the woman into hypnotic trance. She goes, "How much?" I said, "A nickel." She hands me a nickel, and would you? She said, "I don't care. Just give me a." And I hand her some flowers. Well, I said, "Wow, that was strange." Knocked on the next door. Same thing. Why would I pay for something I get? Well, Mr. Allen said, "Be careful of the big snakes and the wild field mice." I got the same reaction. This woman was like, she never thought about that. So about the third or fourth door I knocked on, this woman laughed at me and said, "Well, I'm not afraid of the big snakes and the wild field mice. You go tell Mr. Allen that." So I ran back down to him and said, "Mr. Allen, she's not afraid of the, tell her it's not that, she doesn't have to worry about the snakes or the mice, but the other day I saw this great big ugly nasty black spider. Tell her just to be careful." I ran back up on the door, knocked on the door. "Mr. Allen said, be careful of the great big nasty black spider he saw in his backyard last week." And I got this very similar reaction. Here's a woman, she wasn't afraid of snakes or mice, but big nasty black spiders. That was a different story. And I went from door to door, and I kept selling flour, little bundles of flour, one after the other. Mostly they were purples and yellows. And through this interchange of me running back and forth to Mr. Allen, I learned, when I knocked on the door, "Would you like to buy a bouquet of purple or yellow flowers?" And they looked at him and said, "Well, how about both?" Or someone would take the purple, someone would take the yellow. Now, I didn't know what was going on, but came to a guy. And he's home, and he said, "Jay, I can walk out the back door and pick all, I'm not afraid of the snakes, the spiders, the mice, or anything else that's in that field." I ran back to Mr. Allen. He said, "Will you tell this man that if he were to have some flowers ready and the dishes washed when his wife got home from grocery shopping, that this could be a lucky afternoon for him?" I said, "What?" Okay, so I ran back, knocked on his door, and said, "Mr. Allen said that if you buy these flowers and wash the dishes, this could be a lucky afternoon for you." And he kind of stopped and looked at me. He said, "Mr. Allen said that, huh? He said I might have a lucky afternoon?" I said, "Yeah." He just got a grin on his face. He gave me a dime. And I sold out all the flowers. Not until many years later, I even understood. Once I was married, and my wife was gone like on a Saturday morning, if somebody would have come by and knocked on my door and said I would have had a lucky afternoon, I would have paid anything probably for that. But anyhow, in a matter of 15 minutes, I had made 75 cents. 75 cents selling flowers that people could have walked out their back door and gotten for free. Then I went over and I helped Mr. Allen wash and wax his car. This took about an hour. Wax on, wax off, and I'm going like, man, this is hard work. This is hard physical work. I get home an hour later, my mom looks at me, and I'm covered with water and dirt and everything. She said, "What have you been doing?" Well, I was helping Mr. Allen wash and wax his cars. But look, Mom, and I open up my hand, I got a dollar. She looked and she said, "He gave you a dollar for that?" And I said, "No, he gave me," and I took it out and I put a quarter in my left hand. And I can remember this just as clear as if it happened yesterday. I'm looking down at my left hand and there's a quarter, and I hold it out toward my mother and I say, "Mr. Allen gave me a quarter. I made this 75 cents by selling flowers door to door." She said, "Son, why in the world would anybody pay you for flowers they can walk out and get for free?" And I said, "Because Mr. Allen told him to be careful about the snakes and the mice and the spiders." And she looks at me and she goes, "The snakes," and kind of giggling, and she goes, "The snakes and the mice and the spiders." And he goes, "Oh my, no wonder they gave you a nickel for their things. You go get cleaned up." Well, that wasn't the only thing that Mr. Allen had given me that day. He'd sent me home with two books. One of these, he's called them the Elmers. He said, "I'm going to introduce you to the great Elmers." The only Elmer I knew was Elmer Fudd. You know, he and I had kind of a similar thing going with our R's at that time. And the two books he gave me were Elmer Wheeler's Tested Sentences That Sell and Elmer Letterman's The Sale Begins When the Customer Says No. And I dove in and started reading that book, especially Elmer Wheeler's book, Tested Sentences. And in the beginning, he tells a story about his life. He's a great salesman in the 30s and 40s into the 50s. He'd go into these stores and he would teach the salespeople and the clerks at the counters what to say. What to say. See? And what Mr. Allen taught me that day and over the course of that summer was what he called the stimulus response model. See, he said, Jay, no one is waiting around for you when you knock on their door. They're not sitting in there waiting for you to come and try to sell them something. They're busy. They're preoccupied. They've got their own things going on. But when you knock on that door and you disrupt them, you get their attention, depending on what you say to them, you are the stimulus and you're trying to evoke a certain response. In the sales situation, you're trying to get them to give you some money for whatever it is you've got. Now, I understood this, see, because I just experienced this. I just saw with my own eyes that what I said to people, men or women, could influence these people to give me money, not just money. They gave me a week's allowance for a bundle of flowers they could have picked for free. To me, it was a huge, major lesson. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about both the Elmers and probably Elmer Wheeler's book, Tested Sentences of Sales. I think a must read for anybody who's trying to get into influence or persuasion or salesmanship. It's where you'll find the original sentence, don't sell the steak, sell the sizzle. That's probably the most misused, misunderstood saying in all of persuasion or salesmanship. And I'm going to talk to you more about it. But what's important for you to understand is we live in a stimulus response world. And you are the stimulus. Whether that's on a website, if someone's coming to see what you're offering on a website, or whether you're knocking on somebody's door, or whether you're running an ad in a magazine, or in the TV, or the newspaper, or even a little classified ad in the Penny Savers. You are the stimulus, and you should know what response you want. See, that's the whole square one, step one thing, is to know what you want. What reaction do you want from people? And as you go through the day, the next few days, thinking about this stimulus response, I think the ideal thing for you to do would be to get a notebook and start writing this down. And the first lesson, I want you to write down stimulus/response. Write that down. Get it into your mind. You won't forget this because I'm going to kind of hypnotize you in sort of a way. And when I say, now listen carefully, snakes and spiders and mice, oh my, snakes and spiders and mice, oh my, snakes and spiders and mice, oh my. See, you won't forget that now. But what that should, when you think about that, that should evoke an image of stimulus response. How a little 9-year-old boy was able to sell flowers to people by using those words. And you understand as an adult that I was tapping in to almost universal fears or universal desires in some cases. I didn't know what I was doing, but I had a mentor, someone that was teaching me how. And that day in 1959, it changed me because, look, I'm sitting there looking at 25 cents in my left hand for an hour of wax on, wax off, hard physical manual labor, which I didn't like. I've never liked it since. And on the other hand, three times the money in one quarter of the time. See, I learned a lesson, not just about stimulus response, about life. That if you, what you say to people, someone talking, using words in a certain way, with an understanding of what they're trying to achieve, can make four or five times the money of someone who just uses their hands and does physical labor. And I was proving that time and time again, because in Akron, Ohio, back in that time, the rubber companies that made tires, Goodyear, Firestone, Goodrich, and all the other guys, people would go in there, and it's hard physical labor making tires, but there were guys selling insurance. There were guys selling real estate. There were guys selling other things, even the door-to-door salesmen. They were making three, four, five times the money of that guy selling insurance. So valuable lessons here. Stimulus response. We're going to get into that as we go along in the next program. I want to talk to you about your subconscious mind, because it's important. 6 years later, I learned something from Fran Renner that reinforced a lot of this stimulus response, and I'm going to tell you how you can use that. But for today, stimulus response. Spiders and snakes and mice. Oh my! This is Gordon Alexander, and I'll be back.